Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to discover what God has to say to us through His Word. Historians tell us that Queen Anne's favorite physicians were quacks. She had always suffered from weak eyes. At that time, there were no specialists. Any person could pose as one who could treat eye diseases. Sure enough, a tailor, who having failed as a mender of garments, set up as a mender of eyes. According to historians, he was illiterate, but so convincing was his sales talk to the queen that she would have no one else treat her eyes. Eventually, she knighted him for his valuable services to royalty. In our studies in just a few moments in the book of Galatians, we find the Apostle Paul warning against those who bewitch and deceive, even by means of the eyes. Yes, we're continuing our studies in this valuable letter written in the first century. It has so much to say to us today. We hope that you have your study notes by now. Oh, you say you haven't written yet. Well, we'll be giving you another opportunity at the close of the program. So be sure to write to us this week. Now let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. We do urge you to follow along in your Bible if it's at all possible. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Paul now turns to the great doctrinal question at issue. Does blessing come to men through faith or through works? He offers in the verses ahead proof that salvation is by faith and not by law-keeping. In the verse we just read, their action exhibited a lack of understanding and reason. To turn to law from grace is to be bewitched. It is to be lulled as by a magic spell and unwarily accept falsehood for truth. The word bewitched contains the thought of the evil eye drawing their eyes hypnotically. Paul himself had preached Christ crucified to the Galatians, emphasizing that the cross was to separate them forever from the curse and bondage of the law. How could they return to the law and thus disregard the cross? Had not the truth laid hold on them practically? This one question should be sufficient to settle the whole matter. Let them go back to the time of their conversion, the time when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in their bodies. How did they receive the Spirit? By doing or by believing? Obviously, it was by believing. No one ever received the Spirit by keeping the law. Galatians 3, verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? That was Galatians 3, verse 2. Let's also read the next verse, Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? So the argument runs. If they could not obtain salvation by works, how could they expect to grow in holiness or Christian maturity by the law? If the power of the Spirit was necessary to save them, could they complete the process by fleshly efforts? Someone has put it this way. What has been implanted by the Spirit must be unfolded by the Spirit. As we pause for some music, may we ponder this whole matter as presented here in Galatians chapter 3. We're talking about people who have been bewitched or put under some kind of spell by false teachers. How important, as we apply it to today, to get our doctrine straight. These great truths are found in the Bible. You are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're on the subject of believing God, trusting Him. I'm reminded of the illustration of the father who said to his son, I'm going to give you a college education. The money is in the bank. It cannot be used for any other purpose. All of your expenses for 4 years are guaranteed. Suppose that in a few weeks, the son said, Dad, what do I have to do to get my college money? The father said, Why, nothing. I explained that to you. It's all provided for. Then supposing a few weeks later, the son came up with the same old question. The father would begin to realize that the son did not really believe what the dad had said. Also, the son could not make use of the provision until he went to the bank and withdrew some money. We are sometimes that way with God. And the Galatians were having this problem. To answer this, Paul uses the Old Testament example of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 6. Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What does it say? Abraham believed God. Perhaps the Jewish teachers were using Abraham as their hero and example, basing their argument for necessity of circumcision on his experience. If so, Paul would oppose them on their own ground. How then was Abraham saved? Abraham believed God. It was not any meritorious act at all. He simply believed God. There's no merit attached to that. In fact, a person is a fool not to believe God. Believing God is the only thing man can do in connection with salvation, which leaves him no room for boasting. It is not a good work involving human effort. It gives no place to the flesh. Finley says, What is more just than that the creature should trust its creator, the child his father? Justification is an act of God by which he declares righteous all who believe in him. God can properly deal with sinners in this way because Christ died as a substitute for sinners on Calvary's cross, paying the debt of their sins. Justification does not mean that God makes the believer righteous and sinless in himself. He reckons him to be righteous on the basis of the work of the Savior. God gives the trusting sinner a righteous standing which makes him fit for heaven, then expects him to live righteously in gratitude for what he has done for him. The important thing to note here is that justification has nothing to do with law keeping. It is entirely on the principle of faith. Now Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Galatians 3, 7. Undoubtedly, the Jewish teachers were maintaining that in order to be a real child of Abraham, the Galatians had to be circumcised. Paul refutes this. The real children of Abraham are not those who are born Jews or those who become Jewish converts, but those who are saved by faith. In Romans chapter 4, Paul shows that Abraham was reckoned righteous before he was circumcised. In other words, he was justified while he was still on Gentile ground. Let's now read verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, All the nations shall be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. How was Abraham saved? By faith. How will the nations be saved? In the same way as Abraham, by faith. Moreover, they will be saved as Gentiles, not by becoming Jews. all those who exercise faith in God are justified with believing Abraham, according to the testimony of the Jewish Scriptures. So may we never forget. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Circumcision had no part in it. Just as today, good works, church membership, even baptism have no part in salvation. We are saved by faith plus nothing. It's time to close our books. Those of you studying along with us and you using the correspondence course should now do the exams and mail them to the address given. We enjoy hearing from our listeners. If you have questions or want further explanations, let us know. We want to help you. Stay tuned for our address. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.